Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com and Consulting Secrets. Here's a fantastic training that hopefully will benefit you, the new HMA consultant. It's with one of our new HMA consultants, Kevin Fort. Kevin Fort's out of Arizona and has been out working the system, putting on seminars and putting on opportunity analysis presentations. Like anything new, he's got some challenges and some frustrations, and that's what this call is about, is to address all of those. I called Richard, and Richard, myself and Kevin were on a three-way call, and we went through his entire process in identifying some of the challenges that he was having, and we provided some simple solutions that I know you'll find beneficial. Enjoy. I just talked to Richard a little bit ago, and I was telling him about you. How about if I get him on a three-way call, and you can express also any concerns to him, too? Would that be all right?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, great. All right, hang tight. Let me get him on the line, okay?
Hey, bud.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Good.
Good. I got Kevin Fort on the other line. Kevin, can you hear Richard?
All is coming in clear.
I just talked to Richard. I was telling him a little bit about your story, some of the challenges I thought you may be having. I told him about your success with your seminar that you put on. Had six people there. You had four opportunity analysis scheduled. We went through two of them, and one of them that may result in a sale. The first one, the guy probably doesn't have the money or is a little too much for him. You want to just continue on with the remaining two, and Richard can sit in and listen, then we'll address as concerns come up. And Richard, you can butt in anytime and ask Kevin questions, and maybe we can create a good learning experience both for you and for the other consultants who may be out there doing the opportunity analysis.
Kevin, you handed out some flyers, is that right?
That is correct.
And you handed out about how many, do you know?
I ran off 200, and I think I only had about 75 left. But I also emailed and fax blasted probably another 100.
And you got six to come out to the workshop.
That is correct.
How long was the workshop? Did you do the short one, or did you do the several-hour one?
I only ran it for about an hour and a half. About 55 minutes of PowerPoint presentation, 40 or so as just question and answer.
And tell me, what types of business were these six?
I had a podiatrist, two chiropractors, a financial planner, and a gentleman who's in photography. He specializes in photographing Harley-Davidsons with their owners.
Okay. And they all came, and you got four opportunity analysis, is that right?
That is correct.
And which were those four?
The financial planner, both chiropractors, and the photography gentleman.
Okay. How do you feel the presentation went?
I felt the presentation went well for my first one. I spent the 2 days prior to the seminar studying, rehearsing, staring at myself in the mirror, going over what I wanted to say and following along with the slides. But definitely would like to get more time in the seminars and getting more comfortable running the presentation. I think the other thing that my feedback brought me when I followed up with the six that attended, I did it like I would usually run a military briefing just because that's my background. I told them what I was going to teach them. I taught them, and then I told them what I taught them. And some of them had said that it was just starting to get to the point where it was a little bit too redundant.
I see. Well, that's good. That's all right. You got to practice a little bit. Tell me then how the opportunity analysis went as you talked with these six folks.
I'm finding it really difficult to keep them on track with the opportunity analysis. It seems like once I bring up one subject, they want to go off and tell me their entire life history on what they've done with that one thing.
Right.
I struggle with that. I'm trying to keep them focused and getting through and trying to keep the opportunity analysis running no longer than an hour and a half. A lot of times I find it difficult to get all the way through and show them where their return on investment is going to be.
Yeah.
Out of the four, I only was able to get to that point with the two.
Okay, as far as a qualified prospect, in your mind, did these four people need more business?
Yes.
And they could have handled more business without a lot of expense?
A small portion, probably no more than 10 to 15%.
More business?
Correct. They don't have the manpower. A lot of them are trying to do everything on their own.
Exactly. What were their attitudes? As you go through the opportunity analysis, were some of them like, oh, I've tried that, or I've done that, or I know how to do that? What was their attitude?
50% of the people I was dealing with, 50% of the time, that was their attitude. Oh, I've done it. It doesn't work. I've tried to use the information in my database, and I'm not getting any response out of it. So I'm definitely dealing with a negative attitude towards marketing.
What do you think it was they were wanting?
Well, the one chiropractor that I'm thinking I am actually going to be able to sign with when he gets back from vacation, he wants $20,000. He wants to buy his wife a new car and not willing to finance it, so that was his goal, was I need $20,000 before Christmas time.
And where did the opportunity analysis show you and him that you'd find that 20 grand?
23 to 2800 inactive clients on his database.
Cool. And he's not done much with that.
He's not done anything with it.
Okay, great. So you think that you could go in and charge him for step one, which is the USP, right?
Correct.
Were you trying to close on all seven steps, or how were you trying to close?
During the opportunity analysis, I haven't been trying to close. The way I've been ending with the opportunity analysis is letting them know that I'll be writing up a written, I'm calling it a proposal, but I'm also explaining to them that it's not a contract. It's basically letting them know what my obligations are and what their obligations are and the reimbursement expense. So I've been saving it for that, and that's where I'm getting shot down. I'm getting through the opportunity analysis with these people, and I get them all excited, and then as soon as I handle a bill of sale, it pops right there for me.
Well, here's some important ideas, and Michael, you can throw in too as well, but I think, number one, when I go in and I do an opportunity analysis, I'll talk about step number one, the first part of the analysis and the USP, and then I'm always closing on that. Okay. Before that, when you go in to sit down with someone, you could look at them and just say, listen, I appreciate the chance to meet with you. I'm assuming that you're wanting to increase business and you're ready to do some things that would do that. Is that right? And I just want to reaffirm that you have somebody that needs you, okay? If they don't, you want to start them getting talking negative as quick as possible so you get out of there. Okay? You just don't want to waste your time. You see my point?
I see that.
I know you've gone now through maybe 12 hours of opportunity analysis, and you might get one deal, and so you lose 10 hours, and it may be because these people aren't really ready for you. Does that make sense?
That's exactly what it sounds like I'm dealing with.
Yeah, so the first thing I do is cover three areas before I even get into the opportunity analysis. One is, now, Tom, listen, I'm meeting with you because I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste mine, but I assume you're ready to really grow this business. Is that right? Yes, I am. Okay, great. Well, number two is, I know that the system I work with can do that, but I don't want to hurt your business cash flow-wise or anything. And to get this accomplished, we might be looking at anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 a month for the next 4 or 5 months. Is that something that you could handle? Now, that's assuming, Tom, that we want to do it. I know I got to sell you on it, and we got to find the money. That's my job, is to find the money. But I don't want to take time and find all the money if you don't have any cash to invest. Does that make sense? See, you're just hitting them before these objections come up. And then the third thing I say is, well, great, listen, if that's not a problem, then I'm going to go through this opportunity analysis with you because we got to find the money. We got to find out where you can get your 20 grand or your 500 grand, whatever it is. And I'm going to go through it with you. And then at the end, we're going to find some marketing steps that we feel like we could implement with you. It may be all seven. It may be just two or three. We want to just find the ones that will work most importantly for you. Does that make sense, Tom? Yeah, I got it. I understand. And then at the end, I'm going to go ahead and if things are looking good and it's looking like we found some money, I'll go ahead and put this in a little outline. That's what I call mine, is an outline, not a proposal, not a bill of sale. It's an outline. I'll go ahead and put some time in it, but I don't want to do that if we're not ready to move forward. Does that make sense, Tom? So, see, you're covering all of the three killers before you even begin. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And I think you'll have more fun that way, because what you hate to do is go through that opportunity analysis and one of those three things is in the back of their mind and you haven't flushed it out yet, so they just bring it up later, right?
That makes sense. That's what's happening to me.
And it gets you mad because you say, well, we should have talked about this earlier. Wish you would have told me that earlier. And the prospect will appreciate if you come a little bit more from a position of strength rather than
for their money,
even though you are when you're beginning. And then the other thing I might recommend is, as you do the opportunity analysis, it might be that you only do a couple of steps. Don't try to close on all seven, because you might need to build trust a little bit. You might need to build some performance and credibility before they sign on to some more steps. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So make it easy for them to do business with you. Don't package it too hard. Don't make it too rigorous. Don't make it too binding on them. Just say, hey, you know, we'll go through this opportunity analysis. It may be there's a couple of steps we can do. It may be that we could do all of them. Maybe we just do one. But let's find the ones that will help you the most. Does that make sense, Tom? See?
And that's where I would have to interject and say, when I go through and ask them, does this make sense on how your USP should be integrated and how we should be expressing this to your customers and to your employees? Because of my lack of experience with the system, how do I confidently know with this guy's scenario, I only need to implement 3 projects to get the results he's looking for?
That's going to be a lot dependent on what he's answered as far as cash available to invest. Okay, so you've got to kind of correlate the two. If he's answering, yes, I've got the cash, I'm ready to invest, let's move forward, then get as many steps as you can. But if he starts balking and saying, well, geez, I don't think I got that much, and I don't know if I'm ready to do that much, then you could say, maybe we just start with 1 or 2. Does that make sense? And he goes, oh, okay, well, that makes it easier, I understand.
Don't worry so much about the system performance. Worry about just getting in the door.
Yeah, the system's going to perform.
Can I interject? Kevin, are you feeling that the reason you wanted to sell 7 steps is to give you enough time to perform based on your guarantees so the guy's not disappointed?
Exactly. To me, it seems like Project 3 is an extremely strong project. That's where a company would really realize the growth if they're not utilizing their database appropriately.
That's right. So I'll tell you what, Kevin, I think I've had more impact from 1 and 2.
Really?
Yes. Because most do not have a USP, most are not articulating a USP, and most are not integrating the USP throughout all of their sales process. And I've probably had as much impact from getting a good USP and getting it into their systems that are already in place as I've had 3 and 4 and on.
I believe in the USP. The USP is printed right on the logo for my shirt. And Michael, if he's looked at it and still has it, he can see that in my logo, the USP sign is right there. But because I haven't had the opportunity to see how well it performs, I'm having a hard time grasping how well customers grasp that.
Well, your database project won't be very good without a good USP. So you've got to get these people jazzed about a USP. You've got to get excited about a USP. You really could have an entire consulting career alone on USP. It's so bad out there. It's so weak out there. See, what usually will make you hesitate is they'll say, oh yeah, I know what it is. I know what sets me apart. I know what makes me different. So you go, geez, well, man, maybe we don't need a USP if he's already got it. And that's where you have to say, well, what you think might be a USP, Tom, may be the case, but it may not. Why you want to hire me to survey your customers and to look at the competition, because you've got to take those two things into account before you conclude that you've got a USP. Or it may be that he thinks he has a USP, and then you could say, well, but it's obviously not making enough money for you. Is that right?
They're probably usually going to agree.
Yeah, that's right. It's not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in front of them. So it may be that we need to repackage this USP. It may need to be that we have to re-articulate it. It may be that it's outdated. It may be that your customers don't care what you think it is. They have something else in mind. So you really want to get good, Kevin, at selling the USP. I refuse to do any other steps until they pay me first to do a USP, because I got to make sure I know that what we're selling is the right thing.
Did you find a lot when you were starting out? I mean, I'm getting it from clients. I'm getting it from directors of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. I'm an ambassador for the Chamber of Commerce. I'm getting it from people who are involved in SCORE. And they're all telling me business owners do not want to invest that type of an expense into their marketing programs anymore. Your name has been ruined as a consultant. It's been proven that what you have doesn't work. And it's like a scream at them until I'm blue in the face. But have you dealt with those challenges?
Why do you think they're saying that? Because they've had bad experience with a consultant?
That's what I'm getting from a lot of people. I've had bad consultants, and I try and picture you in Utah doing what you do, and I try and compare it to the differences down here in the Phoenix area. It's a beast down here. I mean, people are just ruthless. They're cutthroat and flat-out mean a lot of the times. I've got people that I deal with that are pleasant to deal with, and things go well, but it always comes down to I don't have the money to spend on this program.
If you're getting that kind of objection that often, you need to start dealing with it up front. you need to hit it head on. You need to go to a chamber and say, now listen, I guess you've maybe had marketing consultants or sales consultants in the past, is that right?
Right.
Yeah, we have. And it hasn't been good, is that right? No. Could I show you how I'm different and how the approach that I use probably hasn't been used before? Because most of the dissatisfaction that I have found is from traditional advertising approaches.
I definitely know that people have not seen this system trying to be implemented in the Valley. It's a brand new thing here.
I've been here in Utah 15 years, and I still don't have any competitors.
Kevin, can you bring up a specific situation where this occurred and explain how it occurred, where you got some real negative feedback from someone? Where did it come from specifically? Someone you talked to, and how did that interaction happen?
I wasn't in an opportunity analysis, but I was in one of the 15, 30-minute appointments I set up to try and get them excited about the opportunity analysis.
Tell me about what this was. It was a meeting to get them excited about the opportunity analysis?
I think I had actually made contact with this guy through telemarketing, and was able to talk him into sitting down with me for about 15, 30 minutes to let me explain what it is that I was talking about, because he wasn't getting it on the phone. I cut it there and I said, hey, let's just sit down and meet for 15, 30 minutes. If you don't like what I have to say at any time, just call it and I'm out. And we've gotten into it, and I started explaining the projects, and he says, oh, I've done all this before. I had another guy come in and try and sell me something similar to this, and he was a quack, and it just wasn't happening. So I decided that I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to go back to my old methods of doing it. And I said, well, are you generating results out of that? He said, no, I'm not generating the results that I'm looking for. And I said, well, then why don't we just go ahead and sit down for an opportunity analysis and let me show you where we can generate those profit centers in your business.
You're real eager to get them through this opportunity analysis and have a chance to convince them that this thing is going to work, where all of that could really be avoided by pre-qualifying them up front a little bit harder. Because the thing that's going to burn you out in this business is talking to negative people. And you've gotten a lot of negative feedback already. It's frustrating to you. It's probably dampened your excitement about everything. But all of that can be avoided if you're talking to the right people, if you decide to meet face-to-face with a 10. Someone who's qualified, who wants to grow, who has the ability to grow, and who has the financial capability to invest in consulting.
You hit two of the three, Michael. They want to grow. They have the finances. And then the third is, their attitude is, I'm ready to learn from you, Kevin. I'm ready to listen. I know what I've tried hasn't worked, so I'm open. If you don't have those three things, Kevin, you don't have a qualified prospect.
That definitely makes sense, because I definitely have not found anybody that has that.
Other than the experience and the practice to be able to do that opportunity analysis, that's all important, being able to sit in front and get comfortable with it, and that's really valuable. So, Richard, can you offer some advice on how to qualify a prospect, whether it's if Kevin's calling cold or his telemarketer's calling cold on the phone, and I know we've gone over some of this in the recordings, or about the phone call you call back before you actually meet with the person, that those qualifying questions, Richard, that we've talked about. Give him some processes that will give them the ability to qualify that person before he encounters the pain of a negative prospect.
The telemarketing, the whole reason that that is useful is to find the people that have the right attitude. You can't expect your telemarketer to determine if they've got money, and you can't expect your telemarketer to really determine if they're ready to grow and how much they're ready to grow, but there's just enough time for a telemarketer to sift through all the negative people and find the ones who are ready right now to talk, who are open.
But that doesn't mean they're qualified to buy.
That's right.
Part of the qualifying process.
But you've now started the qualifying process. So when my telemarketers are on the phone, that's really all I'm expecting them to do. It's really, frankly, all I want to do, because that's a very key part of the qualifying process, is that I got somebody that wants to meet with me and wants to talk marketing, wants to grow his business. So now I go and I do call them the day before the appointment. And I say, Tom, listen, I understand we're scheduled for tomorrow at about 9 o'clock. Is that right? He says, yes. I said, well, great. How's your business? Tell me a little bit about what you do. And then he'll tell me a little bit, and I'll say, so you're ready to grow? Are you ready to start making some more money? Yeah, I am. And, Kevin, I would do it now, but I wouldn't do it at your stage, and that is I qualify on the money over the phone. So I wouldn't do that now. I'd just do the second qualifier. Are you ready to grow? How much could you grow? What would you like to grow? Well, listen, I just wanted to confirm the appointment. I'll see you tomorrow at 9. So now you've got number 2 qualified, the second qualifier. So now you go in, and you've got to sit down and say, well, listen, Tom, I appreciate the chance to meet with you. Tell me a little bit about your marketing experience. Tell me what's happened. And, Kevin, just let them unload. People need to unload. It may be you're trying to be understood before you understand. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So let these folks unload, and they want to. Let them share with you what their goals are. What would you like to do, Tom? What would you like to see your business do? Tell me why you got into business. And let them unload some more, and let them share some goals with you. Say, well, listen, I know that I can help you. That's why I contacted you, is I know that I can help you. I have a unique approach to marketing. It's very different. I think we can maybe create the growth you want from marketing assets you already have so that you don't have to spend more money on some of these things that haven't worked in the past. That would be good, wouldn't it, Tom? You see how you have to really differentiate yourself, Kevin? You have to help these people see how you're different. Because if you don't, you're going to really fight a battle because they're going to lump you in with everybody else that they've had a bad experience with. And you can't let them do that because it's not true. It's not happened. Not the case. And so you got to get good at describing your USP. And then you have to decide whether you want to qualify for the money before you do your opportunity analysis or not. You know, early on, I certainly didn't. But you've got 2 of the 3 key qualifiers in place. And so if you want to qualify for the money, go ahead. Say, listen, I'm going to go through some areas where I think we might be able to find you some money. If we can find you some growth, it might mean an investment between $1,500 and a couple thousand dollars a month for a few months. Would you have the cash flow that you could invest that, or would that hurt your business and I don't want to waste our time? So you have to decide if you want to do that in before you go through the opportunity analysis or not. The other way to do it is at the end of each part of the opportunity analysis, make sure he sees the money, okay? Make sure he sees, yeah, I see how that could make me more money. If you don't have him saying yes to that, then you're not going to get any money from it. He's got to see that he's going to make more money from this, or he won't release anything to you. Anyway, that's the process of qualifying that I think you need to go through.
Kevin, I want to ask you, you said you were able to get with 2 of the prospects through to the mathematical formula. How did you find that process work for you, and how did you find the response from your potential prospects? Were they receptive to it? Do you think they were confused by it? Any feedback on that?
I think one thing that I have to teach myself, and when I walked out of both of those, I knew what I had done wrong, but because of my strong financial background, I think sometimes I run through numbers a little bit too quickly for most people, and I think that's what I had done with these 2. They were agreeing with me. I don't know if it was completely understood or they just didn't want to look stupid. I was getting the nods and the shakes and, do you understand that? Yes, I understand. I'm not going too fast, no. But I still think that with the formulas and with my strength in that area, I think that that might be one thing that's holding me back as well, is I'm not slowing down and taking enough time to make sure that they understand it.
Are you clear on what makes you unique as a consultant compared to everyone else out there?
I am, but I got to tell you, when I'm running around through all these meetings, I'm starting to get a little concerned that people are starting to pick up on it. And I've encountered 4 in the last 2 months that they're not saying they're using the HMA system, they're not talking about USPs and leveraging assets, but they're using language that's similar and talking about trying to do something similar. I'm trying to figure out what type of an image these people are putting out there. If they've got something similar and it's really not working for them, then customers or potential clients of mine are going to be looking at what I have and saying, oh, I've seen this before.
Kevin has a strong financial accounting background, and he feels like he probably lost some of the people explaining the mathematical formula.
Yeah, and Kevin, the answer there is people buy things differently. Some people buy things from emotion. Other people buy things from logic. Usually it's a combination of the both. And if you can get the emotion up without the numbers, then don't go to the numbers.
Okay.
If you feel like you're not getting the emotion, but you've got a guy behind the desk that's more of a numbers guy, go to the numbers. So use those as you need something to address the type of prospect that you have.
Don't try and impress a guy that doesn't care about numbers with numbers.
Yeah, you find out that you're getting him with the emotion. You find out that, oh, he sees the money. If he sees the money without the numbers, you don't have to do the numbers.
Right.
I had asked if he was clear about what his USP is, because he's encountered people who have had visits or experiences with other so-called marketing consultants, and they're familiar with the lingo and some of the language, and he said that he's not absolutely positive that he knows how to articulate specifically what his USP is as a consultant. And I had addressed you, Richard. How would you describe to a business owner what makes you different to separate yourself in a succinct USP that separates you from all these other guys that a business owner may have already heard of?
Well, Kevin, why don't you give it a shot to me? Let me hear it from you.
Okay. How you doing, Mr. Business Owner? My name is Kevin Ford with Kevin Ford Consulting. I just recently moved to the Valley, and I'm introducing a new marketing system that you've likely not heard before. Let me tell you a little bit about what it is. Basically, we come in and we implement a 7-project system that's designed to leverage and find new hidden asset income levels or ventures that you have within your business. And we're going to show you how we can turn those into new profit centers, ways that you've never thought of before. And this is going to take about a 7-month time period. And then after that 7-month time period, we're going to go in and manage the system for about 5 months following that, just to make sure that there's no fine-tuning or anything that needs to be done after that.
You're scaring me and making me tired. You're scaring me because you're talking 7 months and 5 months follow-up. All I'm beginning to conjure up in my mind is dollar signs that I'm going to have to pay for this, and you've already got me scared.
Okay.
So drop all of that. I don't care, Kevin, how long it's going to take. I don't care how long you're going to follow up. I don't care if there's 1 step, 3 steps, or 7 or 50. None of that matters to me.
I don't even care who you are or what you do.
Yeah, I don't even care who you are. All I know is I got a problem. I don't have enough money in my business. And I have tried and tried and tried various marketing ideas in the past, and they haven't worked. I'm pissed off. I'm upset. I've wasted a lot of money. You're telling me that you're different? Tell me what you mean. So now I'm going to give you the USP that you need to be communicating to these folks. First of all, I really don't communicate the USP until I've listened to them and I understand their situation a little bit better. Don't go in and start firing off your USP from the start. They're going to just get turned off. Go in and just say, tell me about your marketing in the past. Tell me how it's worked. Tell me what frustrated you. Tell me what's got you upset. Tell me what you've done that hasn't worked. Kind of let them unload first, because that will tell you how you frame the USP, all right? But here's what it is in a nutshell. Tom, I can grow your business, sales and profit, 25% or more without asking you to spend an extra dime on advertising. Does that interest you? Would you like to know more? Well, yeah. Tell me how. It's because I'm going to find new money from marketing assets you already have in your business. Just not making you enough money now, but we can get them making you enough money. So in other words, no more money on additional advertising. We're going to find it from what you already have in your business. Does that sound different? Does that sound like a new and good approach? And the way I'm going to do it is there's 3 ways to grow your business. There's getting more prospects, increasing conversion rate, and increasing value of each customer. Every other marketing out there only does number one. My system does all 3. Can you see then how you'll make more money, more likely to make more money by working on all 3? Great, and let's get started. That's the USP, Kevin. It's the 25 to 100% without more advertising. It's growing the business 3 ways instead of 1, and it's doing it from existing assets instead of buying more assets. There it is. That's what he has to see is different.
Rich, Richard, I want to just ask a question to make it clear. You know, the pitch that you gave, Kevin, tell me the situation in which you would give that pitch, the one you did. Would that be once you had someone on the phone on a cold call? In what situation would you give your pitch that you just did?
Usually on a cold basis.
On a cold call. So if you're doing cold calls and you have someone on the phone, that's how you would present yourself right there.
Usually, yes. I've experimented with a couple of different things, and you and I have talked in the past on this, and I still know that my message is too complicated.
On the HMA University, there's four new recordings. One is with a cold calling expert, and it's absolutely out of this world. It's incredible. And I've got a couple notes. What he does, Richard, this is really interesting. It's a guy out of Australia, but he's an American guy. He used to live in Atlanta and also San Diego, worked with UPS, worked with Qualcomm, designing and engineering their sales training programs. And he broke down the first 60 seconds of a cold call into a four-hour presentation, and I interviewed him for about an hour. I just did a couple notes of another way you could approach someone or how a telemarketer could approach someone, and it would be something like this. Let's say, Kevin, you pick up the phone. I would say, Kevin, maybe you can help me out for a moment. And they go, okay, well, you know, what can I help you out with? And I'd say, I'm just giving you a call to see if you would be open to some different ideas on how we could bring more sales into your business. Or you would fill in how you could solve their problem, whatever their specific problem may be. And they go, well, what do you mean, or who is this? And if they say, what do you mean? You say, well, what I mean specifically is looking at a marketing strategy that could increase your sales without spending additional money on advertising. It may sound really easy just the way I read it, but this guy's got an entire four-hour course on how and why this works. It has had dramatic results from it, and there's an hour interview where I have him take me through as if I'm an HMA consultant on how to do this, and I would definitely listen to this. This may be really helpful for you.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, that's new.
With Michael and I were a bunch of features, and then what I came back with were three benefits, and that's what you need to hit people with is I'm going to grow 25 to 100% without spending more money on advertising. Oh, geez, that sounds good. That is a benefit. Number two, I'm going to do it by working three ways to grow instead of one. Oh, I can see that. That's a benefit. I'll have marketing that goes along with no one else is able to offer that. And then three, it's guaranteed. I'm going to perform, and the system's going to perform, and it's going to be guaranteed performance for you. Those are the three parts of the USP that communicate a strong benefit.
But, Richard, this USP, in the way we're presenting it, is used to set up an opportunity analysis, right?
Yeah, that's great. The way you did it is fine. And you can just insert various parts of the USP as you need to.
Kevin, you took me through specifically to the chiropractor and the financial planner. What was the third opportunity analysis you had set? You had another chiropractor and who else?
The photography guy.
Let's talk about the photography guy. You set that up. How did that go, and what was his feedback?
Well, let me give you a little background on him. Actually, I did a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Kevin Ford Consulting at the Chamber of Commerce, and he was actually the guy there taking pictures of that ceremony. And after they had done the ribbon-cutting, they gave me a few minutes to talk about my business, and he had generated some interest from that two-minute speech I gave. But he told me right off the bat, I don't have any money to invest in this, and he had asked how much my fees usually are. So right away, he had already told me that he wasn't qualified on the financial prospect. He had told me that he had started the business about a year and a half ago, and it has just not gone anywhere for him.
You could look at that more as a practice. He wasn't qualified, and he was a startup.
That's the only reason I even considered taking him, was just a chance for me to practice with him.
All right, so nothing wrong with that. How about the other chiropractor?
The chiropractor, this one kind of upset me. I almost lost my cool with this one. He laughed in my face, actually, once I came back. We went through the opportunity analysis. I thought things were going really well. He seemed interested. He seemed to be following what I was saying. And towards the end, he asked me what he was looking at expense-wise, and kind of stated, you know, well, why don't you let me go back and generate the proposal, see what we need to do, and I will get back with you on the fee. And he was hell-bent on me getting that proposal to him before I even left the office. So I turned around and I said, well, most clients are looking anywhere from $1,000 to $3,500 per project. And he basically laughed in my face and said, there's nobody in their right mind that would ever pay that. And I wasn't in the mood to argue with the guy and say, you know what, take a look around and there's lots of businesses that are succeeding over the rest of the country that are utilizing the system. But I just said, you know, if you don't want the help, then I'm not going to help you.
Now that we've talked, you can see how qualifying upfront can eliminate this pain.
Yes. This morning before we talked, I thought it was all my clients, my prospects. These people just don't want it in this city. But I now realize that it's 100% me. I'm not saying the right things, and I'm not going through the qualification process like I should be.
Richard, we've talked about qualifying on the telemarketing call and then on the call back to confirm the appointment. How do you handle the end of your opportunity analysis in your closing? Is it a strategy that you use that you try and close the project right there? Do you offer to go back and do a proposal, then come back with a price?
I'll start calling it an outline from here on out.
It's a little less intimidating because an outline, I've kind of assumed the close. And I'm talking now that we're just going to outline what we've talked about that's going to move us forward. This isn't a proposal anymore. This isn't a bill or invoice. This is just an outline that's saying what we're going to do. I go ahead and get to the end of the opportunity analysis, and I'll say something like, does this sound like something that will work for you? And they said, yeah, this is exciting. I think we could do this. I say, well, listen, just one last thing. We're going to generally run between $1,500 and $2,500 per step for a few months. Is that something that your cash flow can handle? Yeah, I think we could handle that. Well, great. Then let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and I'm going to put together an outline that will just put down into print a little more detail of what we've talked about. Oh, that would be good. That would be good. And it'll give us a starting date. Does that sound good? And then I'll come back. In fact, let's schedule that 2 days from now. So today's Tuesday. Why don't I come back on Thursday with this outline, and we'll go through it, and you can let me know at the end of that if we're ready to move forward. Does that sound good?
Okay, that's good. You say you can let me know at the end of that two-day appointment. Have there been occasions where the guy's so hot and ready to sign on where you'll just do the deal right then?
I don't need the outline unless I need the outline. If I got the guy sold, I move right in. Well, let's go ahead and schedule then the session with you and your staff, which gets us started on the first step, the USP. When do we want to do that? So, boom, I go right into scheduling, and then after I got it scheduled and I'm ready to leave, I say, now, I'll just need a check for $1,500 at that session. Will that be okay? So, yeah, again, use the outline like the mathematics part, only if I need it.
Okay.
You know, I heard an interesting fact that most buyers are buying while they're talking. They come to a buying decision at the point of when they're talking rather than when the salesman's talking.
Yeah, you're right.
And, Kevin, you've got all this information, and it's extremely powerful, and you want to share it, and you're excited about it.
You've got to learn how to sell it.
You got to listen.
You want to learn how to let them sell themselves.
Yeah, you don't have to learn how to sell because you're just a guide. They will sell themselves if you take them through that process. No one likes to be sold, but they want to buy, and you need to just listen to their problems, and they will sell themselves. Just let them talk about their problems, get it all out, and then you're going to show them the solution. You're like a little detective. As they're talking and talking and talking, you're making mental notes, and then when it's your turn to talk, you're going to show them how to solve those problems that you've been so gracious to listen to.
That makes 100% sense.
So I hope this has been helpful. Is there anything else that's frustrating? Any little thing that you want to talk about?
I just have one question for the both of you, and I think we've talked about this before, but Richard, in case you didn't know, I'm 25 years old. I'm the youngest guy there at the chamber meetings. I'm the youngest guy that I've seen out in the field trying to do these things. Do you think that that might be a reason that some of these middle-aged 30, 40-somethings are looking at me saying there's no possible way that you have the answers? And again, obviously, I should be able to put that at ease just for talking and listening with them. But is that an immediate turnoff when they look at me and say, this guy's too young, there's no way he knows?
There's a couple reasons that you might be fearing that. One is that, again, you're talking too much. And the focus is too much on you. And you need to just get better at putting all the focus on them and their problems. And then use the 15-year-old system used nationwide and even throughout the world as the solution, not Kevin Ford. If they see how the system will solve the problem, they don't care how old you are. If you haven't done a good job at showing how the system will solve the problem, then they'll think you're too young.
And you know what? An idea, if that's on your mind, and if you think you're getting that feedback, you can preempt it before it even occurs. You can say, you know, you may be looking at me right now, and I'm 25, but I'll tell you, my system that I've been extensively trained in has done this, this, and this. And we have outlined. There's a PDF you can print out, which has the testimonial from over all the years. You could put that in front of them. So as we talk today, I don't want you to be thinking about my age, because I'm just the messenger of a system that's already proven internationally for over 15 years. Is that all right with you? And preempt it.
That's right.
And then that's not a problem.
And you've told me that before in the past, because we actually, before I even gotten into purchasing the HMA system, was there any way anybody's going to take me serious? And you said, you know what, you're not the one they're buying the system. And I guess I've always just had that mindset, and I haven't been able to shift that.
Bring it up. And any objection that you have, you bring it up and craft it into your presentation. And then I'll send you a recording of all this, and you can re-listen to it and take notes and build that into your presentation.
I definitely see the error in a lot of what I'm doing, and I will be able to fix a lot of that to turn this around.
And I've told you this before. You are going to do it. I have complete faith in you, because you are doing the things that are necessary, and you're willing to fail. And you're failing somewhat, but you're succeeding at the same time. And I know it's hard because your back's against the wall, and you need money for rent, and it's a terrible way to sell. Richard, you've been there, too. There's nothing worse than having to sell when you absolutely need money, and hopefully it'll be a thing of the past, and once you get some clients or you get some money and you're selling from a point of confidence, you'll really excel. But you're doing what's necessary, and I think if you implement some of these changes, you're going to eliminate that negativity, you're going to save more time, you're going to be talking to more of the right people, you're going to be qualifying them more, you're going to be closing all the way through the presentation, and you're going to sign up more people.
Kevin, you just say that you might get this chiropractor when he gets back?
Correct.
Well, listen, if you close one out of your six presentation, or how many? Four? Yeah, that's
four.
That's what you say on the videos. One out of four when you're starting.
Yeah.
Kevin, whatever happened with the bookkeeper who had all those potential clients and you were going to meet with her?
We still keep in touch on a regular basis. She has not provided anything yet. Maybe she's waiting on me to provide her something. I don't have any clients to provide her yet.
She offered to do a workshop to her clients. She not open to that?
I believe she would be open to that.
Tell her that it's regularly $49 a person, but because she's sponsoring it, she's been able to get it for $10. So it's a $39 gift from her to her client.
Or, like I said, you can take that articulate presentation Richard and I did, and I can send you a master of that presentation on a CD that automatically opens up, and you can burn CDs. I know there's an expense, but you could maybe negotiate if she's willing to pay for the duplication cost on the CD, which would be probably about $1.25 each. Maybe you'd be willing to pay to mail it out to her people, or she'd be willing to even mail it out as well as a gift for her clients, and let that articulate presentation do the selling for you. And when you get me your stuff, I'll customize it for you. That's an idea, so you can leverage yourself and use that articulate presentation, because that is a slick presentation, and they can watch it all on their time. Or if she has the email addresses of these clients, you can sponsor the workshop, and she can send out an email that directs them to your website or my website with the generic presentation, where it says, if you're interested in learning more about these concepts, contact Kevin Ford, or have him contact her office, and she'll put the interested party in contact with you.
I think that needs to be my next step.
That's leverage right there.
Well, good luck, Kevin.
Richard, I really appreciate your time on this.
Hey, you bet, man.
Richard, thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right.
Have a good night. Kevin, call me if you need anything else. That's the end of this consult with Kevin, Richard, and myself about setting up and doing opportunity analysis. If you have a particular problem that you would like to discuss with Richard and I, we will do the same thing for you. Just give me a call at 858-274-7851, and I hope this has been helpful.